Okay, we're starting today. Today's daf is Kulin Kuf Chet. We're going to start at the Mishnah on Kuf Zayin Amud Bet. We're back to Basar B'Chalav. We sidetracked a little into Metila Yadayim. Okay, we talked last Mishnah about not having milk and meat on the table at the same time. So now we're going to talk about other things about having milk and meat together. Tzorer Adam Basar U'Gvina B'Mitpachat Achat. You can wrap them up in one piece of cloth, as long as they're not touching. Right now, I imagine you take a napkin, obviously they're going to be touching, but in a way that there's room, I guess a mitpachat is big, you can wrap them up in a way that they're not actually touching, but they can be together.
In modern day, it would be a bag, right?
You can put them in the same right, I was thinking that. When you come out of the store, right. We put them in a bag. I was thinking of that example. The problem is that normally when we buy food in the store, it's already wrapped.
I don't know if they wrapped each of their stuff, but
I imagine they wrapped... Like they took a piece of meat, wrapped a cloth around it, then continued the cloth around
but the next
item.
But the modern example would be as long as it's wrapped up and therefore
exactly.
Not
in the supermarket, you can put your milk in the same bag as your meat. Okay? But, so Bavacha lo yehenog imze bazeh, Ramashim begamliel omer. Okay, so now another halacha, shne achsani'im ochlim al shulchan achad. Okay, this goes back to the eating at the same table. We said last time you can't eat at the same table. However, he says two guests who are basically in-lodgers, let's say they're sitting at the same table, but they have nothing to do with each other, they can eat al shulchan achad, zebasar v'zedvina v'hin choshishin. Because the assumption is there's no chance someone is going to eat the other person's food. They don't even know each other. Okay. Now the Gemara questions. What's the difference if you have your chicken and your milk touching each other, or let's say a piece of cheese? It's all cold. Flavor doesn't get transferred through cold. Yes, I can understand. You don't need... Normally, what do we say? If you cook something together, then it's all mixed up and there's nothing you can do if there's flavor. If you roast things, one right next to the other, and they're dry, so then we can assume the flavor goes into a little bit of the other one, and then you need to remove kedei klipa, or depending on what you did exactly. So here, we could say, right, something hot touches something else, so you would need to take off a thin layer. But in this case, we're going to assume, right, you don't need that, of course, but... You still need, now we're adding an additional thing that we didn't talk about, you need to rinse it. So if you have a piece of cheese that sat on a piece of meat, you have to rinse off the cheese and you have to rinse off the meat. Now this halach of hadacha is not so clear, it's not as simple as that. First of all, they have to be dry. If they're liquidy, then we have to assume more than hadacha, right? That hadacha is not going to be enough. They have to be completely dry. And the other thing that some add is that if they're fatty, then the fat could cause things to get absorbed more, and then you need hadacha with shifshuf, okay? Not enough to just rinse it, but you'd have to kind of rub it off and make sure that none of the fat got onto the cheese, let's say. Okay, so...
Do we assume that these are not, at least at the time of the Mishnah that was written, they're not wrapped?
Right, like, we're assuming they're not wrapped.
Today,
well, that's why I said, if you come from a supermarket, everything's wrapped, you don't have to worry about it. Here, we're obviously only talking about if they're touching. Okay, Rashba gomer, shnei achsanim ochlim al shulchan echad. Amarav chanambar. Now, what's interesting about this halacha, this is a classic example of where it becomes very specific, depending on who you are, whether it's allowed. There's no basic halacha anymore. You can't have milk and meat on the same table. It all just means it depends if you're friendly or not friendly. So the question is, how far can we take this? So it's going to be interesting. So, Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela she'em mikirin zeze. First of all, they can't know each other at all. Okay, aval mikirin zeze, it could be two people end up at a hotel together and they happen to know each other, so then already it's asur. Tanya namihachi, we have a brayta to support this reading. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer, right, because that was an Amora explaining the Mishnah. Now we find a brayta that says exactly that. Shimon Gamliel omer, shnei achsanim shenitarchu lepundak echad, ze ba min hatzafon veze ba min hadarom. Obviously then, they don't know each other because they came from different places. Zeba b'chatichato, his piece of meat, v'zeba b'gvinato. Ochlim al shulchan echad. Okay, then they can eat. Zeba sar v'ze gvina, v'ein choshishin, v'lo asru ela, Bitfisa achat. Okay, that means they only didn't allow it if they're bound together. So now they say, tfisa achat salkadatach. What? They need, in other words, what does this mean bound together in this context? So they say, oh, what they mean here is ke'ein tfisa achat. In other words, when they forbade it that they would be as if they're wrapped up together. What does that mean? That means that they're right next to each other on the table without, what do we normally do if you want to eat at your table? It happens in my house, we have vegetarians and meat eaters, and sometimes one wants to eat this. So you're supposed to put a siman heker on the table, something that's not generally on the table, that so that you would know and remember that you shouldn't eat the other person's food. Amale Rav Yemer Bar Shlemi Ala Abaye. So here comes the extension of this halacha. Let's say you have, it's interesting, this is the example they choose. Anyone who has siblings might relate. Shnei achim u'makpidim zel zeh mahu. What if you have two brothers? They obviously know each other very well. But they're very particular. This one won't share with that one, and that one won't share with that one, right? So you're laughing. Amar lei, so can you say, if they're makpidim zel zeh, then, again, once we're, you know, saying we can distinguish between people who know each other or don't know each other, so maybe we could say, if it's these two brothers, never share. So, Amar lei, yomru kol asriken asurin, usrike baitus mutarin. How can you possibly have a situation where we say certain people's things are allowed and certain people's aren't? Now, what's this shrieking? Shrieking were matzot that they would make with pictures, images on them. They would decorate their matzot, okay, if anyone wants a creative idea for Pesach, decorated matzot. So the problem is they didn't allow decorated matzot for what reason? They said if we allow this, what's going to happen? It takes people a long time to make these decorative elements and the matzah will rise. But Baitus had molds. And because he had molds, it was very quick and easy for him to make these tzirim, and there was no concern about the 18 minutes. So therefore, they wanted to suggest that maybe he was allowed to do it. And then they said, what's going to happen? Everybody will say, Shrike nasirim, but Shrike baitus mutarim. Right? That you can't start, you know, what's interesting is they're basically saying you can't do things the way we call it in halacha, l'shiurin, right? This one, yes, this one, no. Of course, we started with the fact that we can distinguish between people who know each other and people who don't know each other. So it's a slippery slope.
No, but we had just a couple of days ago, would something be exactly the same, but it depends on what you thought about it.
Right. So that's also another, so that's why there's this constant debate here about how can we say things are subjective? Can we? Where do we draw the lines? And how do we do it? So they say, we draw the line of brothers. Brothers, even if they hate each other and don't want to ever share anything, you can't start distinguishing and saying yes to them and no to them. So now they say, but wait a minute. V'litamech, if you're going to say that you can't start, okay, they're not going to bring the example you brought, Ruth, but they're going to say, wait, but we have another case where we do make this distinction. Had Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mi she'en lo ela chaluk echad, mutar lechapso b'chol ha-moed. You're not allowed to wash clothing on chol ha-moed, but if that's the only outfit that you have, you're allowed to wash your clothes. So again, why don't we say here, yomru, kol ha-sriken asurin, u'sriken baitus mutarim. First of all, everybody did their laundry outside, right? So people are going to see, this one's doing laundry and I can't do my laundry.
They're going to see that he only has one outfit then.
Ah, yapeh. So that's going to be the Gemara's answer. Hatam, hamar, marav ashi, ezuro mochiach alav. How are they going to know he only has one outfit? So the fact that he wears the same thing every day doesn't necessarily mean it. They could have had, you know, number of items, the exact same clothing. The assumption here is that you have a belt that they would use, the same belt for all their clothing. Now, if you took a different outfit, what would you do? You'd take the belt off this one and put it on the next outfit. But if you only have one outfit, then you'd wash the belt with the outfit. So if you wash the belt, then everyone would know that it obviously was your only article of clothing that you had. Okay? That's because the only reason, the claim is the only reason you would take the belt out would be to wear it on some other outfit. And since you didn't, therefore it would be obvious. You know, this is a matter of how much your neighbors are actually looking at your laundry line, right? And noticing you have a belt hanging on your outfit. Right, I'm thinking of my girl's dress. I always take the belt out and I never wash the belt with it, right?
Anyway, okay. They'd be walking around in their undershirt.
Okay, new Mishnah. Tipat Chalav. I keep thinking of Tipat Chalav, right, when I read this. I wonder where they got that name from. But okay. Tipat chalav shenafla al chaticha. If you have a drop of milk that falls on a piece of meat, im yesh babinotein tam bo tachaticha asur. This goes back to something we saw in the other daf, which is, right, you have a piece of milk drops into a piece of meat. If you can, if it has enough flavor, which again, go ask a non-Jew, or if you can't do that, then batal b'shishim. Then what happens? Let's say there isn't shishim keneged. Then, right, before we saw it, meat and meat, right? Now we're talking milk and meat. Right there, right, what were we talking about there? There were two pieces of meat and one was
trach.
Right, it was trach. That was the case. Okay, so now we're talking about, right, that was the, yeah, okay. That somehow is Basar B'chalav also somehow. Okay. So, tipa chalav shenafla l'chaticha, yesh ba benotein tam ba'ota chaticha, if there's enough, then it's asur. Okay? The meat now becomes asur. Ni'eret ha'kdera, im yesh ba benotein tam ba'ota kdera asur. But if you move around the pot, okay, so now, right, you stir the pot, let's say, then you need ta'am, you can use everything and not just that piece of meat. So the question is, what's the reality here of the two cases? There's a big debate between Rashi and Tosfot and others. The Rishonim, a lot of the Rishonim understood from Rashi that the case is that there was a piece of meat that was half in the gravy, half out. Okay, so it was kind of sitting at the top of the pot and part of it was out. So when the milk fell in, it fell in. This is like the other case we saw with the meat. It fell in to just that piece of meat. That's the first case. Okay, and that's why you need no tain tam in that piece. But if right away you tilted it and it didn't get absorbed into that meat, but it actually got mixed up in the whole thing, then it would be then it would be an easier halakha. You'd use shishim of everything connected. Tosfot says that it's entirely out of the rotef, okay? It's entirely out of the sauce, and then then the second part is after that it gets into the rotef, you know, from so the question is, was it fully out of the sauce or was it partly in the sauce? There's a bit of a debate. There's some other opinions within that also. Right, and then the assumption is that once it gets into the sauce, according to Tosfot, then it's going to start spitting out the flavor that was in it. Okay, so now Amar Abaye, Ta'amo v'lo mamasho ba'alma de'oraita. Okay, Ta'amo v'lo mamasho is another way of saying ta'am ki'ikar that we learned a number of dapim ago, which is if you have flavor but you don't have the actual item anymore. Like here, you have milk and it got absorbed into the meat, right? You don't no longer really have milk anymore, but you just have the taste of the milk. So that's going to be aser baser b'chalav. Where Rabbi's chidush is, this is be'alma d'oraita. That means not only is it a case for baser b'chalav, but it's a case across the board for all isurim. So ye'nesech, that gets into something, any kind of isur, okay, is going to be the halacha of tamam ha'melosho, is a halacha d'oraita. There's a machloket about this in general. Is ta'am ki ikar de'oraita or de'rabanan when it comes to other things other than basar b'chalav? De'isal kadat haf de'rabanan, we'll see why one might have thought only, or why some think only by basar b'chalav. If you would think it's de'rabanan, mi basar b'chalav, my time alo gazrinan, he's going to basically reject the option that it's derabanan. Because if it's derabanan, it wouldn't make sense. Why wouldn't we learn it from Basar B'chalav? The only reason you wouldn't learn something from Basar B'chalav would be what? The chidushu. Because we could say that Basar B'chalav is a unique chidush. So comes, now what's the chidush? There's two chidushim in Basar B'chalav. Okay, one chidush, we talked about this in the beginning, that it's the one case where we have, we'll see, it's not the one case, but let's just say right now it's the one case where we have two items that are on their own, heter, they're allowed, but the combination of them creates a problem. The second chidush is that, according to the Torah, what's asur? To cook them, but not to eat them. So those two things seem to be, we'll see, neither of them are actually totally unique, but at this point they seem to be totally unique. Where else do we see that? Usually it's Isra falls into Heter, and usually it's eating it is a problem, and no one ever, you know, generally it's not cooking it. Okay, right here, obviously the eating it is also a problem, but the cooking it is the real, you know, what it says in the Torah explicitly. So now we're going to say like this. Now where do we learn the whole din of Ta'am Ki'ikar? We learned it from the Zroa B'Shela. Remember that there, we learned from the Nazir, even though it's cooked, the meat is cooked, and that there's a unique exception, but otherwise it's a problem. So now they're going to say like this. If this is a Chiddush, then what could we say? Once something's a Chiddush, then we don't learn any details of it from anywhere else. So then the dinim of Tam Ki Ikar wouldn't actually be relevant, and what would we say? We would say, Derech, my time alogas reinda chidushu, right? I chidushu, apagav delecha notein tam nami. If it says, lo tabashel diva chalevimo, it shouldn't matter whether it gives taste or not. If the whole idea is this is a unique halacha, and it's only by basar b'chalev, one could say, what does this have to do with tam anyway? It should be usher no matter what. Okay? So therefore we're going to say, now we're going to, 1 second, so therefore, what can one assume? That it's not a chidush, okay? It's not because it's so unique. And Rashi explains, why is this not really a chidush? And he says, because where else do we see a case just like this? Two things of heter that are usher, not necessarily in eating, kilayim. Mm-hmm. Kilayim, you take two vegetables or, you know, kilea karam, whatever it might be, you plant them, you graft them, right? You kind of grow them together, like a kilea karam with tfu'ah or something. And what's asur about them? It's not the eating. It's the harkava, the putting them together, which is very much like basar b'chalav. And therefore, since it's not a chidush, one can assume that one can learn from here to everywhere else in the Torah. And therefore, we're going to say, and what's the assumption? The assumption is bishul is what is bishul? Bishul creates ta'am, right? In other words, you cook things together, they get the, that's how flavors get absorbed, and therefore we can learn ta'am ki ikar to everywhere else. But Rava disagrees, shocking. Rabbi and Rava have an argument here. Amar le Rava, derech bishul asra Torah. He says, no, really, it is a chidush. And the netina ta'am isn't something unique, isn't something that applies across the board. It's dafka unique here because bishul asra Torah, and bishul means ta'am gets absorbed. Therefore, it's dafka in this case only that we're going to have ta'am ki ikar, and in other cases, it's only going to be asra derabanan. Now, what's interesting about this? Machloket Abaye v'Rava, what do we generally say? Paskin like Rava. So it sounds from here like ta'am ki ikar is only derabanan. And that's what Rashi holds. However, Tosfot says, no, here Rava's just disagreeing with his proof, but he doesn't disagree with him lahalacha. Because Tosfot, now what's Tosfot? We've talked about this before, that Rashi is very much based on what the sugya says. Tosfot's looking across the board and he says, but there's all these other sugyas which seem to imply that Tam Kikar is Doraita, and therefore Tosfot doesn't think that Tam Kikar could really be Dorabanan lahalacha lamasa, and therefore just says that Rava's disagreeing with Abaye theoretically about Abaye's argument, but not that he actually thinks it's different halacha lamasa. Okay, continuing. Amar Rav, again, this is review. We did this already. Rav says, Kevan shenatam tam b'chaticha, chaticha atzma naaseh nivela v'oseret kol ha-chatichot kulam mipnei shehen mina. Okay, there were two chidushim of Rav that we discussed back on Daf Kuf, that once the milk gives ta'am to the basar, to the piece of meat, that piece of meat becomes nevela, which means that when that piece of meat now goes into a pot with other pieces of meat, what's going to happen? It forbids all the pieces of meat, and that's for two reasons. Number one reason, because that we view that whole piece of meat as if it became a nevela. And the second thing is that one that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, which we're going to see in a minute, the Gemara is going to say it, but I'll already say it, that once you have a piece of meat mixed up with other pieces of meat, what happens? Even though we would say generally batel barov, in this case, min bimino is lo batel according to Rabbi Yehuda. Since meat and meat, right, you can't cancel meat into meat. So here comes the milk, falls into one piece of meat, forbids that piece of meat. Remember, that meat has to be outside or half outside, right, the mixture. That piece of meat becomes a nevela. That piece of meat then falls into the pot with other pieces of meat. It forbids the entire thing. So that's Rav. We saw some other things about it. We're going to see them again today. Amar le marzutra b'reid Rav Mary le Ravina. Michte man ki Rav amar le shmate. According to who does Rav say this? Ki Rabbi Yehuda, right? He must say like Rabbi Yehuda. Da'amar min bimino lo batil. And if that's the case, lema pliga de Rava, he must be arguing with Rava, he must disagree with what Rava said. Because what did Rava say? Damarava, Kasavar of Yehuda, Kol Shehu Min Umino V'Davar Acher, Si Leket Mino Kemi She'eno, V'She'eno Mino Rabba Alavu Mevatlo. Rava said, if you remember, that when you have meat falling into a pot of meat and gravy, since there's gravy, and gravy's not the same thing as the meat, that we view the min bimino as if the other pieces of meat aren't there, and then we can have the eno mino cancel out the mino, meaning taking the rotev, the gravy, can basically knock out the isser of the nevela if there's shishim keneged. So it sounds like Rav disagrees with this, because Rav says if it falls into a pot, right, assuming that what's in the pot, gravy, it's going to forbid everything, even though it's not actually min, right? Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, this is min umino v'davar acher, and according to Rava, Rabbi Yehuda would say that this that min umino v'davar acher, so our assumption is that Rav disagrees with this reading of Rava, and he must not say that when you have min, and eino mino, that we look at the min ki'ilu eino, we have the eino mino override the mino. So we assume Rav doesn't think this based on what he says. So what do we answer? No, amarle de'i nafa barotev raka hachinami. If it had fallen into a liquidy gravy, Rav would agree with Rava. They think that nobody disagrees about that. Hacha b'mayas kina. What was the case here that Rav said? Right, kevan shenatan tam v'chaticha chatchas neit nevela, but oseret kol achatichot kulam. When is it oser all the chatichot? Not when they're in a liquidy rotev, but dinafal b'rotev ava. It's a very thick gravy, in which case the gravy is viewed like meat, because the thick gravy has pieces of meat in it. It's basically like the meat itself, and therefore it's not viewed as an eino mino here. Okay, and therefore we don't have to say that Rav disagrees with Rava. Again, Rava obviously came later than Rav, right? The assumption is the principle that Rava said that we now know to be the case, right? Would Rav have disagreed with that or not? Okay, now they're going to say, wait, Umay Kasavar, what does he hold about this other issue? And now we're going to raise a new issue. I Kasavar efshar lesochto mutar chaticha amay nase nevela. Ela Kasavar efshar lesochto asur. The milk fell into the piece of meat. Then the meat falls into a pot, so the milk gets absorbed into the meat. The meat now falls into a pot with lots of other pieces of meat. What's going to happen to the milk that was in that piece of meat when it falls into the pot with the other meats? The milk is going to come out of that piece of meat and get absorbed into all the other pieces of meat. Now, Rav doesn't care about that, right? He kind of says, right, this is what we call efshar l'sochto. If you can take it out of that piece of meat, it's still going to be forbidden, because what did Rav say? That whole piece of meat turns into a nevela, forbids everything else. But if you look at what's really going on there, that piece of milk is, right, it gets absorbed into the meat. When it goes into the next pot, it's going to come out, right? Niflat. It's going to all come out, or most of it's going to come out. You're going to end up with enough meat there to counteract all the little bit of milk that was there. And in theory, that first piece of meat that got forbidden shouldn't be forbidden anymore because there's no more milk in it. So, what does this show? Efshar l'sochto, even if you can squeeze out whatever was in there, right? The phrase is a little weird, sochto, because you're not squeezing it out, but it means if it comes out of there after it came in and now comes out, it's still going to be forbidden. Okay, we're going to see there's a machloket about this. So it must be that Rav holds efshar l'sochto is asur, because if it was mutar, chaticha ma'inase nevela, why would we call this meat a piece of nevela? It's going to eventually come out, right? So when it comes out, it should be mutar. De'itmar, it was said, and this actually matches what we know to be said, that Rav, who's the one we were talking about, b'Rabbi Chanina, b'Rabbi Yochanan, da'amre efshar l'sochto asur. They all held, if it comes out, it's still forbidden. Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, b'Rish Lakish, Da'amrei efshar l'sochto mutar. So we have those rabbis saying asur, those rabbis saying mutar. So now we're going to talk about this a little bit more. B'savar Rav efshar l'sochto asur. Does Rav really hold this? How do we know that Rav doesn't hold this? Because ha'itmar, okay, we're going to basically bring a source and then say, oh, you misunderstood the source. This doesn't have to do with efshar l'sochto. Kizayet basar shenafal l'toch yoresh shel chalav. You have a kizayet of meat. It falls into a pot of chalav. Amar Rav, basar asur, v'chalav mutar. So usually we have a piece of right? Milk falling into meat. Here we have the reverse. You have meat that falls into a pot of boiling milk. So what do we say? Rav says the basar is forbidden because it absorbed the milk, but the chalav is mutar because the assumption is there's a lot more milk and it was more than the meat. The isal kadatach efshar lesochto asur. Now, if you think that once it squeezes out, it's going to still be forbidden, chalav amay mutar, chalav nevelehu. How does that work? So, take the case where you have chalav, the meat goes inside. So what do we say? The meat becomes forbidden. But as the meat stays in there, what happens? The meat absorbs the milk. The milk that's now absorbed into the meat is what? It's basar b'chalav, right? That milk now, the milk that's kind of sitting inside the meat, is usur. What happens a few minutes later? The milk comes back out of the meat, goes into the milk pot. What do you now have? Milk that was usur going into milk that was mutar. And what did we say? Now, even though you have dinei bitul and there's a lot more milk than forbidden milk, it's mim bimino. You now have chalav going into chalav. And according to Rav, he also like Rabbi Yehuda, the mim bimino is not batel. And therefore, the chalav in this pot should not be mutar because, you know, yes, maybe for the first minute, but after that, it's going to be back and absorb forbidden milk into permitted milk, and that's going to be forbidden. So, therefore, what do we say? Lo olam kasavar. So now we want to basically say, it seems like efshar lesochto is mutar, because why else would that milk be mutar? So they say, no, you misunderstood. So, well, not you misunderstood, but we're gonna see a big chidush, but no worries, they're going to reject it. Lo olam kasavar rav efshar lesochto asur. We really do hold it's the asur. So now why is that milk permitted? V'shane ha'tam da'amar kra lo tevashil gdi b'chalev imo. G'di asra Torah velo chalav. Notice the subject of that sentence. You ever think about that, right?
No.
The focus on that sentence is the G'di is the problem. Okay, so when you cook the G'di in the milk, like this case, it's the G'di that's problematic and not the milk. Now, I don't think he's saying that, you know, the milk is never forbidden, but the point is here, if you're worried about efshar lesochto, and, you know, when it comes to the milk then going into the other milk, that we're not going to go that far to forbid. So now they say, "Besavar Rav, G'di asra Torah velo chalav." What? Like, what are you talking about? Could Rav really hold that? V'ha'itmar chatzi zayit basar v'chatzi zayit chalav shebishlan ze im ze. Amar Rav lokel achilato ve'eino lokel bishulo. If you take a chatzi zayit, you have a half a zayit of basar, half a zayit of chalav. So neither one is a full shiur, and you cook them together, and then you eat it. So now the cooking you're not going to get malko for because it was only a half a zayit each. You didn't have a full shiur, but when you eat a whole zayit, you have a kezayit of basar b'chalav. So you're going to be lo kal achilato. Ve'isal kadatach gdi asra Torah v'lo chalav achila amay loke chatzi shirhu. But if you're going to say that only the gdi is asur, then you're going to say the gdi absorbs some chalav, but the chalav can't be part of the count, and therefore you really only have a chatzi zayit of iser here. You have a chatzi zayit of basar, which absorbs some chalav, so therefore that can't be. So therefore they say, okay, there's no way. Ela lo olam kasavar rav chalav nami asur. They say, oh no, this doesn't reject that, because really, really Rav's going to say the chalav is also forbidden. So now we go back to, okay, so again, where did we start? We wanted to say, does it rub hold if efshar lesochto mutar? Because look, the milk is permitted. So they say, oh no, really he thinks the milk is asur. Well, now we have a problem, because Hidavka said the milk is mutar. So why was, right? In other words, remember, we're going back to the original case. Milk absorbed, meat fell into a pot of milk, absorbed some milk, the milk became asur, spit out into the other milk, and Rav said it was mutar. And that's a case of efshar lesochto should be asur. So why did Rav hold? We're going to say, oh no, that was a specific case. In other words, really in a typical case, the way we described it, we would say efshar lesochto asur, and really you can't eat the milk either. But when Rav said you could eat the milk, what was he talking about? Lo olam kasavar Rav chalav nami asur. V'hacha b'may askinam, what was this case? Kegon shenafal letoch yorer o tachat. The meat fell into a pot of boiling milk. What happens then? Mivla bala, it absorbs from the milk, but because the milk is busy boiling, it's too busy boiling, and it can't absorb the milk back out. It can spit out, so it can spit milk in. The milk can get absorbed into the meat, but the milk can't come back out of the meat and go into that other milk because the milk is boiling. So because it's boiling, it can't absorb. Okay? Again, whether this is actually accurate, I don't know, but that was their approach. That while it's boiling, it can't possibly absorb. So then they say, but sof kinaya hadrapali. But that's not going to help, because it's true. Right now it's boiling, but this milk is sitting in this pot. Eventually they're going to take it off the fire. They're not going to boil it forever. And at that point, once it stops boiling, the milk should be ready or able to absorb the milk back, in which case that would be our issue. So what do they answer? Kishiki dein v'silko. The case must be the milk is mutar if you take the meat out while the milk is still boiling, in which case the milk never got into the usher milk, never got into the permitted milk, and that's why the milk itself is permitted. Okay, so you'd have to say that the case is while it was boiling and the meat was taken out before it stopped boiling. Now we're going to go back to this chatzizai basar and chatzizai chalav. So we resolved our issue again. Where were we? Rav, we said, we assume holds efshar l'sukto asur. We brought a case where it seemed to indicate no, and we said, no. That case can be explained even according to, even if stuff gets spit out, it's still going to be asur, right? Even if the flavor leaves the forbidden item, we're still going to view that item as forbidden. Now we're going to look into this chatzizai basar, chatzizai chalav, shebishlan zeim zeh. So Amarav, lokel achilato veino lokel bishulo. So now the Gemara is going to ask you, manashach, something doesn't make sense here, because either way you look at it, it doesn't make sense. Why? Imitztarfim, if we view these as a chatzizai and a chatzizai can be mitztari for eating purposes, well then, abishul nami lokel, then you should get malko for cooking a half a zayat basar, a half a zayat of chalav. And ilo mitztarfim, and if we don't view them, that a chatzishir of this and a chatzishir of that can be conjoined together, then achilanami lo lilke, then you shouldn't be get malkot for eating them because you only have a chatzizayit of each. So what do they answer? Laolam lo mitztarfe, really they're not mitztaref, ubiba miyore gedola. Okay, now we're going to learn that there's two different cases going on here. If you cook up, you take a little teeny pot and you cook up half a zayit of milk with half a zayit of milk, you're not chayav and bishul. Because, what did I say? Meat.
Both milk or one milk?
Sorry, I meant to say meat and milk. Okay, you take meat and milk, half a side of each, and you put them in a pot together and you cook them. You don't have a full shear, according to Rav. You're not chayav on bishul. But if you cooked up in a big pot, meaning you had a pot where there was a kazayat of meat and there was a kazayat of milk, and you cooked it all up, and then you ate a little bit of the milk and a little bit of the meat, but you didn't actually have a full kezayit of either one of them. Since we had a kezayit of each cooking together, at this point, they're viewed as one entity. And what you're eating is a basar b'chalav entity. And that entity just needs to be a kezayit. It doesn't need to have a full kezayit of meat or a full kezayit of milk in order to, or I would say both, right? A kezayit of this and a kezayit of that, in order to be asur. Okay, so therefore, he kind of splits it. It's not really talking about the same case. One is talking about cooking a half a zayit of each, and one is talking about eating a half a zayit of each, but the eating is after already a zayit of each was cooked together. And that avoids our question, which didn't make any sense, because if, let's say, the first case, chatzi zayit of meat and chatzi zayit of milk, you can actually cook, right? It's not usher to cook them together, well, then it shouldn't be usher to eat them. Because if it wasn't usher to cook them, especially since the whole Isra Achila comes from the Isra Bishul, wasn't usher to cook them, it shouldn't be usher to eat them. Now we're going to learn that someone disagrees. Levi amar af loke al bishulo. He thinks you are loke on the bishul of the chatzi zayit of each. Okay, he thinks you're loke on both the eating and the cooking. V'chein tana Levi b'manita k'shem sheloke al achilato kach loke al bishulo. Okay, so you are, just like you get malkot on the achila, right? They're just quoting a brayta that says exactly that. You also get malkot on the bishul of chatzi zayit of each. Ube'ezen bishul amru. Now we get into, right? How much does it need to be cooked? Cooked for a second, cooked for, right? How much does it have to be cooked? We're not now talking in terms of time, but we're talking in terms of, is the item actually cooked or not, right? You have a piece of raw meat, it could take, you know, X amount of time to cook, whatever it is. So what did they answer? Bibishul sha'acherim ochlin oto machmat bishulo. It would be, have to be a cooking. Here the acherim is referring to a non-Jewish person, because you wouldn't eat it, because it's not kosher. But it would have to be a bishul that a non-Jew would be willing to eat. Okay, if he says, ah, this is cooked enough for me to eat, so now there's a big debate within this of what? Okay, going back to Hilchot Shabbat and Hilchot Bishul Akum, we saw the same thing. Whenever we talk about Bishul, we have to say, what's the definition? Is it Mevushal Kol Tzurko, that it has to be fully cooked, because that's the way people eat things normally, or, you remember the term? Ma'achal Ben Drosai. He was this thief that would grab his food and eat on the run. And there's a machloka whether it's halfway cooked or a third of the way cooked, what machal ben drosai is exactly. But the point is, there's a machloka here among the Rishonim. The Ritva says this is machal ben drosai. If, as long as someone would potentially eat it, meaning even the person who would eat it the least cooked possible, that's considered bishul. And other people say, no, this means acher, meaning a normal person. Okay, it has to be fully cooked. So it's a very big, basic machloka here about... right, the Gemara is trying to give an answer, but unfortunately their answer is not so clear and leads to different interpretations. Okay, now back to this Efshar L'Sochto. Okay, so now we're going to say Efshar L'Sochto Atzmo Tinaihi. This whole issue about whether Efshar L'Sochto Asur Mutar, remember we said Rav says it's Asur, we had other rabbis who said it was Mutar, all the people quoted until now were Amoraim, rabbis of the Gemara. Now they're going to say it's actually a Machloka Tanaim. Okay, from the time of the Mishnah. Ditanya, tipat chalav shenafla lachaticha, kevan shenatna atam b'chaticha, hachaticha atzma naseh levela, v'oseret kol hachatichot kulam mipnei shehen mina, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, this matches what we said, right, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the tipah falls into another chaticha, it gives ta'am, that becomes an avela, that forbids all the chatichot, this is how Rav explained, right, because there now we have min b'mino, the meat and the meat. The Chachamim omrim, ad shetitein tam berotev ubekipah ubechatichot. No, the milk has to, right, we view the milk, not the piece of meat, right? We view the measurement of how much milk we have in the entire pot. So now, so far this doesn't really have to do with Efshar L'Sochto, we're going to see. Now comes Rebbe. I'm a Rebbe, and this brighter Rebbe comes in and says, Nir'im divrei Rabbi Yehuda b'shaloni er v'shalo kisa. Okay, really, vishalo here means or shalo, okay? Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda is, I would agree with Rabbi Yehuda in a case where the meat fell on the meat, right? And then you didn't mix it up in the pot, or you didn't cover the pot. What does covering the pot do? Even if it's not in the sauce, what will happen? The steam will cause everything to mix up, and the flavors will get all around. So, now, what did Rebbe mean? We're going to have to see what Rebbe meant by this. And he says, and I would agree with Chachamim, Didrei Chachamim, Bisheni Er V'Kisa. If either it was mixed or it was covered, then I would agree with Chachamim. In other words, I would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that that first top piece of meat becomes an avela, and we measure, right, the ta'am, kineged just that one piece of meat and not kineged the whole thing. That I would agree with as long as it wasn't mixed up. But if it was mixed up, or covered, then I would agree with Chachamim. So now the question is, my loni erva lo kisa. What does he mean when he says it's not mixed or it's not covered? At what point? E lema loni er klal, the lo kisa klal, if he means I would hold like Rabbi Meir in the case where it was never covered or never mixed, mivla bala, mivla lo palat, what we're going to say, that it gets absorbed, what would be the question? If it never got covered or never got mixed up, obviously only the top piece of meat is usher because it only absorbed the milk and it never spit it out into the pot. So why would Rebbe need to say that? It's totally obvious. Ve'ela, therefore, it must be what he meant is lo ni'er b'tchila ela b'sof. Ve'lo kisa b'tchila ela b'sof. What he meant to say was, I would agree with Rabbi Yehuda in the case where first the milk fell into the meat before the pot was covered or before it got mixed up. And after it got absorbed into the meat and the meat became usser, then that meat gets mixed up with the other pot. Then we're going to say again, Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino lo bata. That's the case. Now, amai, Why would this be the case, though? Habala v'hapalat, right? If originally it wasn't mixed up, right? And that means what happened? The milk got absorbed in the meat, and then the meat falls into a pot with the other, right, and gets covered or mixed up. What should, in theory, happen? The milk that was in the meat should come out and go into the rest, and we really should be mishayar based on the whole thing. Therefore, what do we conclude from here? It's obvious that what a Rebbe holds, efshar l'sochto asur, right? That he held, that, or the Rabbi Yehuda holds, that efshar l'sochto is asur, and that's why, even though it comes out, it's still forbidden. Michlal, to Rabbi Yehuda savar, kini er mitchila va'ad sof, v'kisa mitchila la'ad sof, asur. Right, from here, one could infer that what? The Rabbi Yehuda would hold that if you mixed it right from the beginning, or you covered it right from the beginning, if you covered it the whole time, asur amai, halo balaklal, right? Wa'ah. So then we're going to have another problem with this, which is according to this, Rabbi Yehuda, what did Rabbi say? I would agree with Rabbi Yehuda in that case, right? Which sounds like Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's usher, even if ni'er b'tchila, and it's, by Rebbe saying, I would hold like Rabbi Yehuda in that case, where ni'er acharkach, right, where first it went in, and then sounds like Rabbi Yehuda himself, though, holds that even if you mixed it from the beginning. And that seems weird, right? So, halo balaklal, right? If you mixed it up from the very beginning, that first piece of meat never absorbed, why should it become an avela? So what is the answer? It must be, the inference is not that Rabbi Yehuda would hold ni'er mitchila fully, but what would he hold? Ema lo ni'er yafe yafe velo kisa yafe yafe. Okay, it would be a case where the milk falls into a piece of meat that's in a pot with other stuff, but it wasn't mixed up. It was mixed, but not so well, so that the majority of the milk got into that piece of meat, or the pot was covered, but it was only partially covered, and the steam wasn't enough to get all the way around, at least at the first few minutes, and it had enough time to kind of get absorbed into that one piece of meat before it got, you know, it wasn't mixed super well, and that's what one would infer. Okay, but in any case, you see that there's a machloket here about im efshar l'sochto asur mutar, is a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim here, according to Rebbe.